The following live presentation by Rabbi David Aaron is brought to you by Israelite, inspiring a renaissance in Jewish living. To learn more about Israelite, please visit our website at www.israelite.org. Additional contact information is available at the end of this presentation. Thank you for learning with Israelite and enjoy the experience.
We'll talk about Pesach in general and the Haggadah more specifically, but just first, Pesach in general. We are taught, and we say it in the Haggadah, they call it Dam Chayav Liratet Tzmoki Luhu Yatzam Yitzrayim, that every person is responsible to see themselves as if they got out of Egypt. And well, the question is why is that so important? I mean, why, first of all, how do I even do that? Because I didn't get out of Egypt, so what's the point that I should see myself as if I got out of Egypt? And second of all, well, why is that really important at all anyways? I mean, this is a day to remember that the Jewish people, and to be thankful that the Jewish people got out of Egypt. So, well, what's it got to do with me? So, there's a very interesting midrash. Rashi brings it down as pshat. It says that when Avram Avinu encountered the angels, he brought them matzot. And Rashi says he brought them matzot because it was Pesach. Now that's interesting thing, because Rashi says pshat. Rashi is not offering mystical interpretations. He says pshat. Well, what would that mean that it was Pesach? Pesach didn't happen until 300 years later, right? How could that be? But it also says the same thing with Yitzchak, because when Rivka says to Yaakov, go fetch me two goats, so Rashi in the Midrash asks, well, how much could Yitzchak eat? I mean, two goats. Right? He can't even eat a goat. Right? And they said, no. One was Korban Pesach. Rashi says it's a Midrash, but Rashi brings it down. It's pshat. It was the Korban Pesach. Well, what in the world could this have to do? So clearly Pesach has nothing to do with the day of the going out of Egypt. The day of the going out of Egypt has everything to do with Pesach. It's a total switch around. In other words, it's not that Pesach is the outcome of an event that happened over 3,000 years ago, but rather the event is the outcome of Pesach. Pesach is a certain existential, let's call it spiritual season. So there's something about the time of Pesach that allows for that kind of event to happen. And therefore, Chayav Adam Lirat Etzmo Keilu U Yatzam Mitzrayim, that means that for us to celebrate Pesach, it's not about commemorating a historical event that happened in the past. It's about getting in sync with the unique spiritual power that's being made available during this time period. Okay, for instance, the 4th of July is celebrated because of what happened many years ago in the 4th of July. That's not why we celebrate our holidays. We don't celebrate our holidays because something happened in the past and we would like to remember what happened in the past and be thankful to God for something that happened in the past, which may have far-reaching ramifications for us today, if we're American citizens, but not is so personal. Yiddish guys say, no, Chayav Adam Lirat Etzmo Keilu Hu Yatza Mitzrayim. And we're also told in the Haggadah that it's Mishubach. In fact, let me read it. One second. It says, Avadim Ayinu B'Pharaoh. We were slaves to Pharaoh. And Hashem took us out from there with a strong hand and outstretched arm. And if Hashem would not have taken us taking our forefathers out, we and our children and our children's children would be, right, still enslaved to Pharaoh in Egypt. which makes no sense. But now it says, "V'filu kulenu chachamim," and even if we're all wise and all understanding, and we're all zkenim, we're all old, kulenu yodim et the Torah. Even if we know the Torah, mitzvah aleinu, we have a mitzvah, l'saper b'mitziyat Yitzrayim, to tell the story, right? Or, and this is the question, what is l'saper? Does it mean to tell the story or to narrate the story, which I think there'll be a difference? Narrate the going out of Egypt, v'kol amar be l'saper b'yitziyat Mitzrayim, and all who increases the narration of the going out of Egypt, hari ze mishubach. This is all the more the better. So it's the whole thing sounds strange. What does it mean? Even if we're wise, even if we're understanding, if we're old, even if we all know the Torah, we have to say over the story of going out of Egypt. Why? Right? So one of the understandings is that L'saper b'yitziyat Mitzrayim doesn't mean to talk a lot about it. I mean, how does a person marbe L'saper b'yitziyat Mitzrayim? Like, what more can you say? Right? You're supposed to try and talk, to increase the talk about going out of Egypt. There's just so much detail to the story. There's not much more that you can say. Does it mean we're supposed to say it over and over again? That's not what we do. So one of the understandings is kol amar be l'saper Mitzrayim means the more you narrate, to narrate Mitzi Mitzrayim means that you continue the story. You're not talking about it over and over again and expanding on the detail that happened. Rather, you're expanding the story into your life. You are continuing the story. The more your life adds to the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim, right? That is the best. It then brings a story about Maaseh b'Rebbe Elezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elezer ben Azariah, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarfon. These great rabbis were sitting in Bnei Brak, and they were speaking of Yetziat Mitzrayim the entire night, until the students came and said to their rabbis, the time for Kriyat Shema has come. Now, the simple understanding of the story here is that this is an example of how even great rabbis would sit and talk all night about Yetziat Mitzrayim. But that's really, the story is very problematic. Because why are their students not with them? These are their students. Why are these great rabbis talking to each other about Yetziat Mitzrayim? Wouldn't it make more sense than talking about Yetziat Mitzrayim and telling it over to their students? Where were their students? Right? Why does it tell us that they were sitting in Bnei Brak? What's the difference where they were sitting? So really, there's a tradition that this story is really about the planning of the Bar Kochva revolt. And it wasn't Pesach night. Right? This is not a story about Pesach night. This was not a Seder. This was a battle planning meeting of the rabbis in support of the Bar Kochva revolt. And that's how they are saying over the getting out of Egypt. Right? In other words, they're continuing the story. Every step we take to free ourselves more and more from the physical as well as the spiritual imprisonment of Egypt. And that continues into today. So that's what Pesach night is about. Pesach night is not a day to commemorate freedom. It's to catch the wind of the spirit of the particular day, set up our sails, and allow ourselves to extend freedom to an even greater area of our lives, to get out of whatever elements of Mitzrayim, whether it's spiritual Mitzrayim or it's physical Mitzrayim or spiritual Mitzrayim, whether it's any form of slavery, which could be addictions, whatever it is. that's what it means, kolam asaper b'tziat Mitzrayim, that we have to narrate the story, not say it over and over again, but tell the story and increase the story, expand the story, right? Through our lives. Our lives has to be, has to continue the story of going out of Egypt. Now the story of going out of Egypt is so central to Judaism, it's mentioned all over the place. And what's interesting is, why don't we have a day celebrating the creation of the world? I mean, what would be considered a more awesome demonstration of God's wisdom and might? Wouldn't that be the creation of the world? You know? I mean, what's more impressive, the creation of the sun, or that a baby accidentally or unknowingly begins to walk into the street and a car is about to hit it and that car mysteriously stops dead in its tracks? What would be considered a more incredible show of God's design? It would be the sun. What's so great about Yetziat Mitzrayim? So much so that the creation of the world, we really don't have Earth Day. Why don't we have an Earth Day? And the real reason is because the creation of the world is not the purpose of the creation of the world. The creation of the world is for the purpose of getting Am Yisrael out of Egypt. Right? The creation of the world is, so to speak, God building the set for the story, for the star. And the star in the story is Israel. That's why it says Breishit Bara Elohim et haShamayim v'et haAretz. Breishit Bishvil Yisrael. When does Israel become born? When does the nation of Israel become born? It's Egypt. If we look at the story of Am Yisrael in Egypt, the parallels between it and birth are remarkable. Right? And it's not just the, you know, but Midrashim literally are drawing lines of parallel between the birth of a woman and the birth of the Jewish people out of Egypt. And, you know, the Midrash describes the plagues as contractions of a woman. It describes, and the splitting of the final cry of the Egyptians is like the cry of the woman just as she's doing the last push when the baby comes out. And the splitting of the sea, which most people and most pictures picture a sea being split, the Midrash describes that it wasn't split, but it was a tunnel was formed inside it. So the Jewish people came through a birth canal out the other side of the... It's not like they just came, they stood up, and but there was actually a canal, right? There was water not only to their side, but it was also above them. And so the splitting of the sea is really the breaking of the embryonic waters, as well as the birth of the child. And then the child is fed with manna, and the manna is also described as lashad, which means from the breast. And then what happens is the child grows up, gets his bar mitzvah, gets Torah, and then goes, you know, and then gets married and goes home, which is Eretz Yisrael. The whole purpose of creation is the creation of Klal Yisrael, right? And the freedom of Klal Yisrael is what we need to, the story of the freeing of Klal Yisrael and the releasing or the unleashing of the powers of Klal Yisrael is the story we're all part of. And so everybody, no matter who we are, right, we need to, in a very practical way, contribute to expanding and extending the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim into our generation and onward. I think based on what we just explored, the idea of the Seder is to experience freedom, not just to experience freedom, to actualize freedom in our life. So the Seder night starts with Kadesh, right, which is Kiddush. And of course, every holiday and Shabbos starts off with Kiddush. Why is it considered to be a part of the Seder? Because it's considered to be part of the Seder of Pesach. It's not considered to just simply be another thing that we do. It's the first cup of the four. Right, so it's an integral part of this graduating process that we are going to participate at Seder night. So Kadesh really runs along with the line of Sof Maaseh B'Machshavat Chila. The end is in mind first. The goal of Judaism is Kadesh. Kedoshim Tiyu, you shall be holy, for I am holy. That's the purpose of Yiddishkeit. When we're about to do a mitzvah, we say, Asher Kiddishanu B'Mitzvotav, you who have made us holy through your mitzvahs. Right? That's the goal. So you have to start with the end in mind. Once you start with the end in mind, the next thing is Urchatz, which is you wash your hands. And that's what Stephen Covey would call first things first, which is now that you've got the end in mind, what's the first step towards that final destination? And that's to wash our hands, which is to clean up our act, basically, you know, practically. The next thing is Karpas. Karpas is this interesting ritual where we take a little bit of parsley and we dip it in salt water. And one of the reasons is to get the kids asking questions, which is part of setting the stage for freedom, because a slave doesn't ask questions. And so much of the Seder is about encouraging questions, which is encouraging a free spirit. People who can't ask questions or are afraid to ask questions are slaves. They're slaves to their insecurity about asking questions and demonstrating their lack of knowledge. But Karpas is also about whetting our appetite. In the good old days, people, before they'd have a meal, would do this. They would take this vegetable and dip it in salt, and it actually whets our appetite and creates a desire to eat. So that is amazing, because this is the wrong place to do that, because we're going to be sitting here talking for a long time. So why would I do something that would arouse my appetite and then not satisfy my appetite? But that's part of freedom. Part of freedom is asking questions. Part of freedom is delayed gratification. Same thing with yachatz. Yachatz, we're told, is we break the matzah, because a poor person can't eat it all at once, because he doesn't know where his next meal is going to come from. So he delays his gratification and eats some of it now and keeps some of it for later. Again, delayed gratification. The highest form of freedom is the ability to curb my freedom. That's the difference between freedom and acting free. Acting free is like an animal. Animals act free, right? But they don't have freedom, which means the ability to control their freedom.
This presentation by Rabbi David Aaron has been brought to you by Israelite, inspiring a renaissance in Jewish living. To access additional presentations from our online media library, order our best-selling books, or learn more about Israelite programming, including seminars, web-based learning, teleconferences, spiritual retreats, Shabbaton experiences, Israel missions, and leadership training, please visit us at www.israelite.org. That's www.israelight.org. You can also call us in New York at 212-947-4990, or in Jerusalem at country code 972-2-627-4800. We hope you enjoyed this presentation, and we look forward to learning with you at Israelite.